we have an opportunity to talk about the Colorado Avalanche. You have some major news coming on right now. Our man, Arif Dean, the host of the Ringside with Arif Dean podcast, joins us. Arif, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. The Avs got to Arturi Lehkonen back last week. So far, so good. Lehkonen, one of five Avalanche players, and we know it's a small sample size, but one of five Avalanche players who have more than a point a game averaging thus far this season. But of course, tomorrow, things will probably change quite a bit. 6 months ago today, the 13th of May, Valeri Nichushkin was suspended and placed in the player's assistant program. The expectation now is that he will return not just to the app. He will be on the ice on Friday.
Yeah, he's going to play that game, and he's going to jumpstart this roster a little bit more than what we've already seen from Arturi Lehkonen. I mean, you mentioned Lehkonen and his comeback. 4 games, 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. Playing more than 24 minutes per game. So I'm going to expect something pretty similar for Val. And finally, our man Casey Mittelstadt's going to have a goal-scoring winger to play with, because he's probably suffered the most in terms of who he's had to play with and what he's had to do at 5-on-5 with all the injuries that the Avs have dealt with.
That's pretty shocking, too, because actually we need to give Mittelstadt some credit. He's one of the guys averaging more than a point a game. Now, granted, he's been playing on the top power play line. That's part of it as well. But regardless, Mittelstadt, who was a good addition, we knew that the day it was. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy that has put up some major numbers despite not having a lot of help.
Yeah, I mean, for him, the best part about what Mittelstadt's done is he's a lot of his production has also come on the power play. He kind of fit like a glove when he was inserted into that top power play. And then obviously Ross Colton was the same thing. So for a guy who's got 16 points in 16 games in Casey Mittelstadt, he's got 8 of those points on the power play, which is already one fewer than he had all of last season with Buffalo and Colorado. But he's also a minus 10. And when you're a minus 10, that means that 5-on-5 at even strength, you're kind of struggling a little bit. And he's had to kind of carry the load with some of his line mates that he's had. No disrespect to guys like Kiviranta and O'Connor and even, you know, the rookies, Callum Ritchie, Kovalenko. Granted, you know, Mittelstadt, like McKinnon McCarr, has been on the ice for the many, many empty net goals the Avalanche have let in. So that plays a part in it too. But his production, to answer your question, is coming mostly on the power play, which has been pretty great for him to have.
Yeah, there was a report in ESPN. One of the GMs was talking about Cale Makar, who's minus 7, of course, on the season as well. Makar has 24 points in 16 games. The GM's quote was points schmoints. The dude's on pace for 130 points on the night. Plus minus, who cares? And it does matter, obviously, for the Avs, but we understand that they've been running short. But they have kept their head above water. 8-8 opportunity to play tonight, of course. They will take on the LA Kings, who are just a little bit better with 9 wins. 5 losses and 3 overtime losses, but looks like a pretty even matchup. The question now I go to is the goaltending. Now, a couple weeks ago, the Avs claimed a goaltender, Kaapo Kakkonen, off of waivers from the Jets, who have now put themselves in the NHL record book with the best ever start in history. Yeah. And then they reclaim Kakkonen today off of waivers from the Avs. Alexander Gurriev had been playing quite a bit better in the last few games. The Avalanche goaltending situation is still unsettled because not one guy has really stepped up and become the number one goaltender. But it was safe to say that the Avs quickly decided that Kakkonen wasn't going to be the fit.
Yeah, I think he ultimately lost the starter too with the 8 days of visa issues that he was dealing with during that time frame where the Avalanche still couldn't, you know, get their first win of the season. But ultimately, I wrote about this yesterday or this morning, I should say, on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. If there was one thing that the Avalanche got out of the Kakkonen addition and he was on the team, I think he was placed on waiver precisely 1 month after he was claimed off of waivers. And then he was claimed off of waivers back by the Winnipeg Jets, obviously a day after that 1 month. What the Avalanche got from Kaapo Kakkonen wasn't necessarily Kakkonen himself coming up and making a difference. He played one game. It was the one against Tampa where Colorado was very injured and lost 5-2. And he let in 4 goals, plus they let in the empty netter. But what they got from adding Kakkonen was a wake-up call to Georgiev and to Anonin. Are they going to be the two goalies when the season ends? Is anybody's guess? That's a great question. But picking up Kaapo Kakkonen, having Jared Bednar outright tell us the only reason why we got him is because our guys aren't doing well and they're not playing well. And I'm not here to the other, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he had a great answer where he said, you know, this isn't minor league hockey. This is the NHL. If you're playing well, you earn more starts. I'm not here to make everybody happy. I'm here to win games. Ultimately is, you know, kind of what he had said. So Anunin kind of picked up his game a little bit. Georgiev has settled in. Georgiev, obviously, as we all know over the last 3 years, he has the higher upside. You're going to get consistently decent play from Justus Anunin. You're going to get higher upside. And obviously, it looks like early in the season, a lower low side for Georgiev as well. So both of those guys have kind of settled the waters a little bit in the goaltending department. If this still ends up being the two goalies come March, if you ask me if that's going to be the question after the trade deadline, I can't say for sure yet. We'll see how that plays out. But right now, both of those guys are playing well. They need the roster spot anyway. They got guys coming back. Kaapo Kähkönen wasn't going to be the guy.
Georgiev with wins in his last two starts, not necessarily dominant starts, but with wins in the last two starts and a loss to Winnipeg against, we talked about a team that's off to the best start in history, and that was a 1-0 loss. That's part of it, too. The Avalanche understand they have to score goals, and they have been at the very top of the situation here. MacKinnon leads the league in points with 30. Cale Makar is tied for third with 24. Mikko Rantanen is tied for 11 with 21. So you have three of the top 11 scorers in the league. And when they're going, the Avs are in good shape. When they have scored three goals, the Avs are 8-3-0, so the offense can carry the way. The question is it too much of a load, or with now Lehkonen and soon-to-be Nichushkin back, is there enough for the Avs to believe they can finally start getting traction, even though the goaltending situation is unsettled?
I think so. I mean, again, let's go back to the last four games for Lehkonen. You mentioned it. They scored six goals on Seattle and won. They scored six goals on Carolina and won. My favorite part about the game against the Nashville Predators was it was a 2-2 game after regulation. That's a tight-fought, hard-checking game. So they won finally a different way. It wasn't a high-scoring Carolina team scoring four, but you scored six. It was a tight-checking game where you almost, came away with a 2-1 victory, but then Nashville tied it. You still won in overtime. And then obviously the one loss was the one where they let in the least amount of goals of the four games. And that was, like you said, the 1-0 shutout loss to Connor Hellebuck and the Winnipeg Jets. So just adding Lehkonen back has had that trickle-down effect. And then this is something I've probably mentioned it on your show over the last month or so since the season began, since we've been waiting for all these injuries. Adding Lehkonen and Val doesn't just increase the offense. Adding Lehkonen and Val makes the Avalanche better defensively. Those guys are like third defensemen out there. The Avalanche are, I know in the NBA, we've kind of like shifted more since I was a kid to more like quote unquote positionless basketball. The Avalanche are one of the more quote-unquote positionless hockey teams you'll find in the NHL because Jared Bednar is so big on his forwards, forechecking, and coming back and playing on the backcheck, playing on the forecheck, being aggressive. He's a puck possession guy. Val and Lehkonen are at the top of the chart for that. Val is one of the best forecheckers and defensive forwards in the NHL. And my favorite quote about Jared Bednar when they acquired Arturi Lehkonen 2.5 or whatever it was years ago, he calls him mini Val. Lehkonen is the same exact way. He's an aggressive forechecker. When they lose the puck, his job is to get it back as soon as humanly possible. And then they also back check like crazy. So having those guys back doesn't only increase your offense, it makes the team better defensively. We saw it instantly pay off with Arturi Lehkonen, and especially what he brought to that top line, who had already been producing, but he brought that defensive element. Adding Val back is going to do the exact same thing. And then to a lesser extent, Jonathan Drouin is also a great two-way forward under Jared Bednar. Adding him back to the top six, now you got your top six. Now you're rolling a little bit.
Yeah, Miles Wood might be able to play on Friday. Even Jonathan Drouin might be able to play on Friday. So one way or another, those guys are getting closer. Now we're in the day-to-day phase of it, which is a great place to be in. And that changes things pretty dramatically. The question for me with Nichushkin, obviously, is how is he going to be incorporated into the locker room? He has a contract that at the moment you would not think is tradable unless he proves that he can have a very good year and, quite frankly, doesn't hurt his team in the playoffs for a third straight season. There's been a lot of damage. And certainly I think that the last time he was back from the suspension, the teammates said the right thing. They just wanted Val to get right. They wanted him to get healthy. They wanted to get his head in the right place. All that's important. But in this case, now it has been two playoffs in which Nichushkin's absence has directly led to the Avalanche's absence. Remember, he was dominating in last year's playoffs until he got suspended against Dallas. And I know the Avs are saying the right things. I know they need him desperately. They need the player. But it is going to be hard to regain that trust. What is your sense regarding the Avalanche organization and the locker room when it comes to reincorporating Valeri Nichushkin?
That's a wonderful question, and I think they've already handled it. He's been around for a couple of weeks already. He's already, when you watch like the post-game videos that the Avalanche put up where they hand out that goofy giant hat to the players, he's already sitting in a stall clapping and talking with his teammates. He comes out of the locker room when the media goes in post-game, walking with the other guys like Ross Colton, Miles Wood, Jonathan Drouin, sometimes Gabe Landeskog, Oliver Shillington, the healthy scratches and the injured slash suspended players. They all come out of the dressing room together. They're all wearing their suits, obviously, for the guys that didn't play. He's already practicing with the team. He's been on the ice with them for a couple of weeks, sharing the locker room. It's already happened. I can't say for sure that that's the case, but it seems like that's already been the case. Val Nichushkin, we don't see him interacting with his teammates right now, but he has been around them for 10 to 12 to 13 days now already, every single day on the ice. I believe it's, you know, it was a week ago, I want to say on Monday, 9 days ago, when he was cleared to practice with the team. And he had already been here for a week before that, skating on his own before practice, after practice. But let's face it, you're sharing a locker room, you're sharing a recovery area, rehab area, you're sharing a parking lot. You're already speaking to your teammates then. And then obviously it's been 9 days since he was cleared to practice. So whatever those issues are, the fact that Jared Bednar is very steadfast and confirming that Val's playing on Friday says to me, he came to town early, skated on his own. He got cleared to practice with the team. They took care of everything they needed to do before his Friday return. So what I wanted to make it clear is, like, when Val enters a lineup Friday, when he's in that dressing room for morning skate, this isn't going to be the first time of him walking in after more than 180 days and looking at his teammates and saying, I'm back. It's not been like that. He's already been around since October 30, 31st, something like that. So whatever those concerns are, there's absolutely zero chance in my eyes, without proper confirmation, that the Avalanche have already addressed this with him ahead of his Friday return.
If that's the case, we have to look at the injury situation here going forward. And we knew that Gabriel Landeskog, I think Avalanche fans have been excited about maybe seeing Gabriel Landeskog again. They have to understand that when Landeskog came back in the championship run and played on the knee that was injured, he rushed back trying to make an effort to win that cup. He was instrumental in winning that cup. Landeskog knew full well, I have said this before, I said, if you want to talk about the, you know, the greatest sacrifice your body for a championship, first people go to John Elway in the helicopter, and I respect that. But I actually look at Gabriel Landeskog's run in that Stanley Cup playoffs, understanding that what was at risk was his literal career, and he put it on the line to win a cup, and he was rewarded for it. It was always in question whether Landeskog would ever be able to return. And I think Avs fans in the Avalanche organization understood that. So if at any point Landeskog comes back, that's a bonus, but they weren't counting on it. At this stage, though, if we're talking about Wood and Drouin being back, at worst by next week, you're only looking at Ross Colton being out after the broken foot and unfortunate because of the hot start. But we'd be looking at a quarter of the way through the season, and the Avalanche could more or less be whole. Every team's going to deal with injuries here and there. And like I said, Landeskog was always going to be, his return was going to be gravy. It was going to be a bonus if it happened. But the Avalanche, all of a sudden, maybe only a quarter of the season through, would be as healthy as most NHL teams hope to be at that point. And if they're still at or above 500, it's all systems go, right? You have to figure out the goaltending, but every team has those challenges.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the Avalanche just needed the season to not get away from them. And even had it gotten away from them, kind of like what the Edmonton Oilers dealt with early last season, not because of injuries, just because they played bad for their situation, then you know, you would have to rely on like going on a crazy run, going 10-1 in 11 games, doing something crazy to make up that ground. The Avalanche haven't done that. And just a matter of like two games, two wins make a world of difference. Like Carolina, they were down 2-0, I believe it was. If they lose that game, for example, Anaheim, they were down 2-0. If they lose that game, for example, well, now instead of 8-8, you're 6-10, you're 4 games below 500. And you know, that's what a game or two can make a difference. The goal always for this team, in my eyes, was for them to remain around 500 for as long as humanly possible until you get these guys back. If they win tonight against the LA Kings, which is no easy matchup, it's going to be a tough game. If they beat the LA Kings back, they're going to be a game above 500 with Val re-entering the lineup, and you couldn't ask for anything better for them. That would be a huge addition and a huge, good enough record to get through and weather the storm of what you've had to deal with, especially because if you win this game and you're 9-8, you started 0-4. That means you're 9-4 in your last 13 games before adding Val into the lineup.
Right. And that would be a phenomenal run. And I guess that leads me to my last question, Eric, because Jared Bednar has never even been a finalist for the Jack Adams Award, despite being a team that has always been in the mix. And I get it. The Avs have special talent. We talked about having three of the top 11 scorers in the league. I do understand that. But other teams have top talent, too, and their coaches tend to do very well. What is it around the league that Jared Bednar, who right now in Vegas is in the bottom eight in coaches likely to win the Jack Adams Award as it stands today at 50-1, why does the NHL overlook Jared Bednar, now one of the longest tenured coaches in the league?
The simple answer to this is the voting is flawed for the Jack Adams. It always has been. It always will be. It's unfortunate. I'll follow up your question with a question of my own. How many Jack Adams trophies has John Cooper won with the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Right.
None. Zero. It's always who's the new guy on the block that does the cool, crazy thing that brings this team up from the dead. It was Patrick Waugh in 2014. It was Rick Tocchet a year ago with the Vancouver Canucks. The Avalanche in 2015 weren't the team they were in 2014. The Vancouver Canucks might be the team, but they don't look like it so far. Granted, they're missing Thatcher Demko. That's a huge addition. So I think ultimately what ends up happening is the coach that leads the best team with the best talent, even when they have to deal with what they've dealt with. Like, you can argue last year, Jared Bednar should have won the Jack Adams, just given what the Avalanche dealt with and the crazy run they went on to just to end up third in the division. You could argue he could have won it last year. You could argue he could have won it a few years ago. But what usually happens with these awards is the coaches that are at the top of the ranks don't usually win it unless you do something mind-blowingly crazy, like, I don't know, win 67 games, the Boston Bruins in 2023. Jim Montgomery won it for doing that. And even then, that was his first year as head coach. So it was kind of like, hey, let's bring this guy back. And he brought this team up from the dead. It's the same reason why Barry Trotz won the Jack Adams. Same
Jim
reason
Montgomery's why odds are even longer than Jared Bednar's.
What's that's that?
Right now. Okay.
Say that again.
I mean, Jim Montgomery's odds are even longer than Jared Bednar's right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, Jim Montgomery's not having a great start to the season with the Boston Bruins, right? You know, understandably so, but that's ultimately what it is. The trophy is kind of a flawed trophy. Like, the Norris Trophy is a reputation trophy. You need to be a guy for a couple years before they're even going to consider you. The Jack Adams is like completely the opposite. It's like, hey, who's the coach that just surprise, like, just this team is playing better than we thought, you know? Understandably so, right now it would probably be the Winnipeg Jets' head coach, but, you know, the Florida Panthers are 11-4-1 coming off of a Stanley Cup. You know, they're playing great. They lost a ton of talent over the offseason. Why isn't Paul Maurice being mentioned? It's because Paul Maurice won a Stanley Cup last year. Let's go to the next, you know, hot thing on the block, and that's the Winnipeg Jets with Scott O'Neill.
So maybe it's a good thing that Jared Bednar is never, maybe it's opposite. If your reputation is good enough, you're never going to be in the mix of that because they already know you're good and they expect it.
Bingo. That's 100%. They already know you're good and they expect it. It's the same reason why, you know, there's a lot of things about him that have come out since, but it's the same reason why Mike Babcock never won it with the Detroit Red Wings. It's the same reason why I need to double check this. I don't even think Joel Quenneville won one with the Chicago Blackhawks. So, you know, all the teams that had coaches, Joel Quenneville hasn't won a Jack Adams trophy since 2000. In 2000, that was before he coached the Avalanche. That was when he coached the Blues. Ooh. So in three Stanley Cups, Joel Quenneville didn't win. In a Stanley Cup and another final appearance and all the dominance with the Red Wings, Mike Babcock didn't win. John Cooper with Tampa Bay has two Stanley Cups, four Stanley Cup final appearances, didn't win a single Hart trophy. Jared Bednar has a Stanley Cup, second longest or third longest tenured cup now behind Cooper and Sullivan, hasn't won a Jack Adams trophy. Speaking of Sullivan, also hasn't won a Jack Adams trophy. It's a very flawed award the way that it's been handed out in recent years. And, you know, like you said, maybe it's a good thing because it's the Avalanche are a good team. They expect to be good. Even in seasons like this year, where they probably had all the reasons to be bad, Jared Bednar has kept them at 500. And you know, if they get their guys back and go on a run and win 50 games again, people are just going to say, yeah, it's the Avalanche and they won 50 games without taking into account what they did to get there.
Well, the Avalanche get a chance to get over 500 tonight against the Kings and Friday against Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. They will have an opportunity to get not only Valeri Nichushkin back, but perhaps even Miles Wood and Jonathan Drouin. Could you imagine how different the Avalanche would look at that point? You want to follow Arif Dean and make sure you check out the podcast Ringside with Arif Dean for all the latest. We won't get Arif for a bit though, because Arif is off to get married this weekend. Congratulations. That's obviously a very, very exciting, very good news. We wish you very much all the best here from everybody at Mile High Sports. Congratulations and safe travels. We'll hope to see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And I'll catch up with you guys probably after Thanksgiving.
Spoken like a guy who covers hockey right there. Yeah, whatever. I'll catch you for the next game. Go team. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. It's been an exhausting couple months. It's all going to be over soon, but it's an exciting time for sure.
No, I hate to warn you. It's actually just starting soon.
Yes. That's what I keep being told. It's not just a party. It's the rest of your life.
That was preseason, pal. The real thing's coming. So best of luck. Happy travels. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks so much, Arif Dean, joining us. Make sure you check him out at Ringside with Arif Dean. Congratulations, obviously, to Arif there. That's outstanding news and a great reason for him to step aside from hockey a little bit. The Avalanche find themselves in a really interesting spot this week. We'll find out tonight about the Kings. And then, of course, Friday, Nichushkin is back and maybe even more. The Avalanche will look like a very, very different team. Nichushkin, obviously, along with Lekin and the two latest guys to come back, 200-foot players, guys that are the two best forecheckers on the team. They're the only players that at least last year played in one of the top two lines, played on the power play, and played on the penalty kill. Invaluable players. If Nichushkin can be right, and he's got his head right, he could be a phenomenal addition for the Avalanche. So hopefully that turns out, and we'll find out what they do against the Kings tonight. And then you can stop worrying about the injuries and all that. Just figure out what the heck's happening with the goaltending. One problem at a time.